Father, thank you for allowing us to gather in freedom today. Unencumbered, unhindered as we enter this place to worship you and exalt you as our God. Thank you for calling people still to believe and to faithfully trust and serve you. Father, perhaps the greatest freedom we can know is not just the freedom of gathering, but the freedom in this pardon from our sins that you died to attribute to our lives, to give us a right standing with you, free from the penalty of sin, free from shame, free from guilt. Lord, we live in a world where people are smiling on the outside, but are still so awash in their shame and guilt. Father, I'm thinking even this week about people who would say they trust you and your forgiveness, but the ability to walk in that freedom that just escapes them. So Lord, may indeed this place be an earthly door where they can experience you as the true door and way to everlasting life, free from the pain and suffering that oftentimes the consequences of our sin brings. And may we be a church that establishes well, not just the corrective, not just the things that we're against, Father, but may we know, be known in this place and through its people for the things that we champion, for the one we champion. For it is you that we are truly for, and we are thankful that you were first for us. We love you, Lord. Lead us through your word now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, Sam. Pray for Sam this morning. He's got to do this one more time, and he's suffering with some strep throat this morning. So we're with you, man, all right? I tried to think about, when I talk about membership, obviously, I've always kind of felt the tug, the feel when I'm talking about membership in the context of next steps as we look for ways to be connected. And that's what we hope here. If you've been coming to CFCO for a while, or if this is perhaps even your first Sunday and you want to find out more, last week we talked about what it looks like to be introduced to CFC. Now today we want to talk about the next step of being connected as a member here. And so oftentimes when I think about membership, it just feels strange. It feels like it can be a self-serving thing. I'm a pastor. I need a job. So as a result of needing a job, I need members, okay? And so from that context, I mean, it feels like I'm trying to sell you something here, right? And I don't ever want to do that. I do need a job, and I'm thankful I get to do this, right? But that's not the context that should ever be for this message. And so I thought about, obviously, going through this, just a personal inspection of my own life. What does it mean for me to be a member here, right? And so as I walk out into the community, I don't know how you feel about introducing yourself as a member or being connected somewhere along the ways of introduction as a member of Christian Fellowship Church, of CFC. But I'll give you a little bit of a confession here, okay? Pastors, therapy with pastors is often done in front of their congregation, if you haven't understood that, right? You go through therapy with, my ability to make these confessions, and hopefully that you'll understand for ways that I can connect with you. But one of the things I've always been a little embarrassed by is when I walk out in the community and people introduce me as their pastor or one of the pastors that at the church that they serve, which is even more accurate. I am one of the pastors who serves at CFC. And I always feel a little embarrassed by that. I grew up in the context, right, where my mom's dad was a carpenter and a farmer. I mean, he worked with his hands all his life, and that was what he defined a man for me. I mean, I had to learn how to catch catfish. I had to learn how to grow things from the ground. I had to learn how to, you know, to do things the way a man would. He was my model of a man, or my dad's dad. I spent equally amount of time with my dad's dad, who was a coal miner, for crying out loud. And I'm not talking about this luxurious longwall mining. Some of you would say, oh, coal mining luxurious. Oh, listen, compared compared to what my grandfather went through in West Virginia before he came to Kentucky, it's luxurious to work underground now. He used to work like in 3 feet of coal. He'd be down there with his buddy with a pick and shovel, and he was paid by the ton. And so when he came out of the coal mines, I'm like, that's a man, right? So I got to learn how to dig coal if I want to be a man. So I'm walking out in the community now, and people are introducing me as a pastor. Really? And here's the way it usually goes. This is my pastor, Dale Beaver. Hello, nice to meet you. You don't look like a pastor. That's the way it goes. You don't look like a pastor. And my comeback is always, what does a pastor look like? I don't know. But you don't look like one. And I don't want him to define it for me. It's almost like he does know what a pastor looks like. He just doesn't want to be unkind to me in describing to me what a pastor is supposed to look like. And somehow, I just don't fit that model. I think what he's saying in the introduction is, I want to tell you that you don't really look like a man, but I'm not going to, you know, describe that for you, okay? So I'm just going to say, I don't know, but you don't look like one, all right? So you feel that twinge a little bit of an embarrassment. I'd much rather be introduced as a coal miner or a farmer or a carpenter or something else that, I mean, emulated what a man would look like. So I feel that. Isn't that awful? But I do. And if I feel that some ways as someone who is a clergyman in the context of the membership of this church, then what do you feel? What do you feel when you walk out in this community and you are identified as a follower of Jesus Christ who worships him with other believers at Christian Fellowship Church? Are you proud of that? I mean, are you a little bit embarrassed by that? Would you rather that not be the first thing that you're known by, right? Well, we all have to kind of get comfortable with what it means to be a member of a local church, because it's biblical. A lot of people wonder if membership and belonging to a church is biblical, and I want to share with you this morning that it is indeed biblical. In fact, the Bible devotes metaphors to membership. And that's what we want to look at just briefly today. First, from the context, again, of my own examination. First, from the context of what it means to be an elder or to give oversight or leadership to the church like this. Obviously, that's biblical, or we wouldn't need to be doing it, okay? And if there weren't members, I wouldn't need to be an elder, okay, right? Elders, by virtue of the term, gives oversight to membership in a local church. So if there aren't any members and there's no need biblically for members, then there's no need for elders. But biblically, there are reasons and needs for both. And the first metaphor that I want to explore today, just in the context of being elders who are members to a local congregation, is that the church is the flock of Christ. Think about that. The church is the flock of Christ. That's the metaphor the Apostle Paul uses, not in flock in the sense of geese, but flock in the sense of sheep. And if you read your Old Testament, that image of sheep and shepherd, if you know the 23rd Psalm, which is a famous, you know, psalm that a lot of people memorize or learn or bring comfort to, all that metaphor flows throughout the Old Testament, and it isn't lost in the New. Paul uses it in his final remarks to a group of elders who are leading a church in Ephesus. It's awash in Greek culture. Ephesus is the place. It's a Las Vegas kind of place. It's a sailor's paradise. But yet it's still awash in Greek culture. And so the Apostle Paul, in his journeys, moves from town to town, setting up these churches and establishing elders. And then he writes to these places. That's why you have the letter to the Ephesians and the letter to the Philippians and the letter to the Colossians. He writes to places where these churches have been planted by himself and sometimes by the people that he's discipled. But Ephesus has a special place in his heart as a shepherd over a flock. And now he's calling to himself the elders of that church. For one final meeting. In Acts chapter 20, verse 16, Luke, who writes Acts, gives us this clear description. He says, Paul had decided to sail on past Ephesus, for he didn't want to spend any more time in the province of Asia. And if he'd gone to Ephesus, he would have been stuck there for a while. He was hurrying to get to Jerusalem, if possible, in time for the festival of Pentecost, which you know is sometime after Passover. But when he landed at Miletus, he sent message to the elders of the church at Ephesus, asking them to come and meet him. The elders would come now to Miletus, away from Ephesus, where he could just have some one-on-one time with them. And this word that he uses here is the term in English translated elders. It's the word presbyteros, which we get the word Presbyterian from, okay? So that's one of the words used for elders. It means those advanced in age, those who should be wise as a result of that, and particularly in this context, leaders are those who give leadership to the church, presbyters. Then on down in verse 28, we pick up two more words that Paul uses interchangeably for elders. He says in verse 28 to these elders, guard yourselves. As you are leading and guarding the church, guard yourselves. You don't guard God's people, he says in verse 28, until you first make sure that you are looking to yourself. Why? Because the things that you're trying to guard the church from, to keep them from damage, guess what? If you don't look to that in your own life, the very fact that you succumb to that will damage the church. So as you're trying to keep them from damage and your oversight, be very clear that as you are an elder, you first look to yourself. You guard yourself. And then he gives us this other image. He says, feed and shepherd God's flock. There it is. Feed and shepherd God's flock, his church, purchased with his own blood, over which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as leaders. Now, not presbyteros, but episkopos, okay? Where we get the word Episcopalian. You say, well, Dale, that's a great question. Dale, you guys are elders, so does that mean we're a Presbyterian church? Not in the normal use of that term. Oh, okay. Well, then you guys are obviously leaders, so Episcopos, we have elders and leaders in our church. We must be an Episcopal church. Well, no, we're not that either in the context of this church, right? We're speaking of elders and leaders in the context of what Paul is just describing them in here. Those in the episkopoi who give oversight to the church as those who watch over it. And then he uses this phrase here, feeding and leading, shepherding God's flock. Poimeneo, which means to shepherd or to feed as a shepherd would feed a flock. Paul is using all three terms in this overlapping exchange with what it means to be an elder. You lead them, you watch over them, and you feed them. Why? Paul says the reason behind this is because, verse 29, I know that false teachers like vicious wolves. What's the chief opponent or adversary to a sheep? A wolf. I know that false teachers like vicious wolves will come in among you after I leave, not sparing the flock. Even some men from your own group, Paul says to these elders, will rise up and distort the truth in order to draw a following. Men who will say what other people want to hear just to create followers. Watch out. Remember the 3 years that I was with you. He stayed in Ephesus longer than he stayed anywhere else. 3 years. Remember the 3 years that I was with you. My constant watch. There's that word again. My constant watch and care over you night and day. And my many tears for you. Now I understand, you know, thinking of ourselves as sheep isn't a very appealing metaphor. That's why I'm going first with it. Because I don't want to, I mean, I've been around sheep. Sheep stink. They're not the brightest individuals out there that are walking around, you know. And to be characterized as someone who is a human being, analogous to a sheep, just isn't very appealing. They're a great aggravation to their shepherd, as they are sometimes a great aggravation to each other. And indeed, part of the reason people don't want to belong to a church or to be a member of a local church is because of these aggravations. And I get that. But the Apostle Paul says there are advantages to it. Because you and I, because we are living in a culture that is completely foreign to the kingdom of God, because we are living in a culture that is actually hostile to it, we need to be a part of a group of people to where we're not only watched over, we're not only cared for, we're not only led, but we do that for each other. And Paul says, because even from within your own midst, don't think that just because we sang these great songs and we've said these very sincere and authentic prayers here this morning, that there aren't people at times that come into the church that do so from their own blind and selfish ambition. There may be people who would even rise up in a church to create a following unto themselves, distorting the truth the way the Apostle Paul says. And the elders are here to watch over that, giving oversight first and foremost to themselves. And I can tell you, as we said, as we shared this week, we spent a great Wednesday night. We get together. Some of you are asking, what do you guys do when y'all get in there on Wednesday nights? You know, what are you playing bridge? You playing rook? What are you doing in there, you know? Well, this Wednesday night, we had a tremendous time of just studying the Word a little bit together. We've been going through a book together that speaks to what it means to build a church on the gospel. We've been talking about that, keeping that front and center in front of our lives. And then one of the ways we stay in touch here as pastors and elders is that we take the prayer requests that y'all fill out on the back of your welcome card, and those are distributed. And so I was able to sit down with another brother elder of mine, Glenn Sager, and Glenn and I were able to pray through pages 1-3 on that prayer request. I don't always pray through. I'm not going to make you think that, wow, Dale goes through the whole 15 to 20 pages. Everybody, no, I don't do that. But I stay in touch. As elders, we stay in touch with what the body is telling us through the things that you're prayerfully concerned about. And in that sense, you're able to kind of see what's going on in the life of your church, as well as you're connecting that to the challenges in your own lives as parents, as spouses, as coworkers, as friends, as family, the ways we're suffering and the things that we're feeling. All the while giving a careful eye to what is being said, making sure that nobody falls off the boat because they're believing something that is not consistent with what their salvation teaches them and the Word of God says about it. And then as we look at each other around that table, we make sure that we're praying for each other in the context of being faithful. Faithful men. Are you being faithful? Yes, are you being faithful? Where are your eyes? Where are your thoughts? How is your speech? And to know that I've got guys around that table who are giving oversight to my life, and at the same time submitting myself to the authority of the other guys that are working here, that they can walk in my study at any point and say, hey, you said this, and I'm a bit confused by it. That sounded mean. That sounded kind of crass. Is that what you really meant behind that? To know that even guys who are younger than I am can come and confront me as I would be willing to walk in their office and confront them is the kind of atmosphere that we want to create here. See, to be a member of the church kind of means, and again, I can understand why you would run from this. It kind of means like there's nobody says, well, that's none of your business. Because to be a member of a church means that you let each other inside some of the deepest secret spaces of your life, so that the Word of God can reign and rule and correct and reprove. We can't be afraid of that. Because there's wisdom as iron comes against iron is the only way we can be sharpened. And sometimes the slapping of the two things together is painful. We can't be a people who just hold to ourselves. And again, we have created a society to where, guess what? You never have to come out of your house. You can send for everything and stay connected through texting and social media. You never come out of your house. You kidding me? You want to be a part of a church where people can know your business? Where people can kind of get up in your lap and kind of say, listen, there's trouble here. Where people can look at you and say, listen, that doesn't sound like Jesus. That doesn't look like Jesus. You're going to submit yourself to that? That's real attractive in the world that we're living in. And the Apostle Paul tells these men that he loves dearly that it is absolutely necessary. If we are going to grow in what it means to be followers of Jesus Christ, then we allow room for that when we say we're going to be members in a church. Now, some of you right now are saying, check, you know, I'm out, right? I get that. I understand it. It's a big commitment. But you and I are living in a country to where for many years, all church membership meant was something that you could put on your resume and build your network to advance your own ambition. And we don't want to be that, y'all. I don't want to be a part of that. And neither do you if you want to follow Christ. Even John Calvin, commenting on Acts chapter 20, verse 28 through 31, Calvin says this: the ambition of man, and if you'd say, well, now Calvin, ambition in and of itself isn't necessarily evil. Okay, then let's say the misplaced ambition or the evil ambition of man is the mother of all heresies. Pure handling of the scripture aims to give Christ the preeminence. And people cannot appropriate anything for themselves without detracting from the glory of Christ. It follows that those who try to promote their own glory are corruptors of sound doctrine. Paul says, yes, even in your own midst, people can stand and say something just to generate a following. Paul tells this young pastor in Titus, named Titus, to his letter in chapter 1, verse 9, that as you appoint elders, Titus, if you seek to train leaders for the church, remember that he must have a strong belief in the trustworthy message he was taught. He must be building his life on the gospel. Then he will be able to encourage others with wholesome teaching and show those who oppose it where they are wrong. The church is the flock of the Lord Jesus, and the church has appointed us as a flock. He supplied us with a great shepherd, and he supplied us with under-shepherds, those who are watching and leading it, having first looked to their own lives. The second metaphor that you may be more familiar with is the message or the metaphor of the body. The church isn't just the flock of God, it is also the body of Christ. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, that the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ, Paul says. Some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles, some of us are slave, and some of us are free. And you say, well, that doesn't really speak to our context here in Evansville. Yeah, but you can look around and say, you know, some of us are from that side of the track, some of us are from that part of town, some of us are even from Kentucky. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. The church is the body of Christ. As the body, the human body, has many parts, it is still just one body. You see, members in a church are different in function, but we're not different in foundation. We're different in our function as we serve around here, but we still belong to the body. I'm still a member here, right? Even though I'm a pastor, I'm still a member here. You're not following me, you're following the one who I follow. I'm just saying, look, we're following Christ. That's what I'm saying. And I'm doing my best to be true to the Word of God as it reveals the glory of God around the Son of God and say, that's Him. He's the one that we're following here. It's not about me. It's not about any other pastor here. It's not about any other leader here. We're just trying to be true to what the Word of God says about the Son of God as He reveals the glory of God. I want that in my home, I want that in my family, I want that in my marriage, I want that in my business, and I want that above and beyond all in my church. Members are different in their function, but not in that foundation. Paul says in verse 3 to the Romans there in chapter 12, he says, because of the privilege and authority that God has given me. That's what this is. And I don't feel near as privileged or authoritative as Paul. I don't walk out and I'm not introduced as a pastor, and I feel privileged at times being introduced as a pastor. You may not walk out and feel privileged to be a part of this church as a member, But Paul says we are. And because we are under God's authority, specifically, Paul says, I give each of you this warning. Again, as an overseer, as a fellow member in the body of Christ, looks at Paul. Paul, he's not a superhero. He's not apart from something that you're not a part of. Same foundation. I give each of you this warning. Don't think that you're better than you really are. I call this my American Idol verse. Don't think you're better than you really are. Why? Because at some point, somebody's got to tell you the truth. Poor old Mr. Simon, you know, he made a lot of money being the bad guy there on American Idol. But what was he doing? He was mean-spirited about it. But he was saying, you know what? I don't care what your mother says. I don't care what your grandmother says. You couldn't carry a tune in a bucket and nobody ought to walk across the street to hear you sing. And they run crying off the stage because it's shocking news. Paul says, let's be upfront about it. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself, measuring yourselves by the faith that God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function in the body, so it is with Christ's body. No, you may not be the singer, but let me help you with who you are. Let me help you with how you've been privileged. Let me help you with your function, because I'm within the same foundation. You and I share the same foundation. Let me help you within your function. It is as with the human body, so it is with the body of Christ. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. And from this, we'll see that a diversity of membership is essential to the health of a body. A diversity of membership is essential to the health of a body. Paul says, and back down again in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 14, yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. And if the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, if I can't be a hand, I don't want to be a foot. If I can't be a hand, I'm not going to be a part of this body. No, you're a foot. You're no less part of the body than the hand. And if the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would it make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? If the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? No, Paul says, but in contrast, rather, our bodies have many parts. And God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to a hand, I don't need you. No more than the head can say to a foot or feet, I don't need you. Paul is talking about what it means to be members of your local church. As it was true in Corinth, it was true in Ephesus, right? They're a part of the same foundation. They're a part of the universal church. But guess what? They've got to function as the body of Christ in Corinth and Ephesus, just like we do in Evansville. Why? Because church membership is distinct, unique, and biblical. You being a part of a church, a local church, somewhere in this town, y'all, is the charge of the New Testament. It's biblical. And it's distinct. It's different from your gym membership, right? You can't bring your attitude into this church. You can't bring the same kind of attitude that you bring into membership of a church that you bring into the gym or to the country club or wherever else you're going. You can't do that. It means something a little different. When we talk about membership here, it's a distinct definition for something other. And it's also unique. Guys, it's as unique as the bride you're married to. Ladies, it's as unique as the husband you claimed as your groom. I love Ephesians chapter 5 because Ephesians chapter 5 paints for us what it looks like to live like Jesus in this world. Paul begins the illustration by saying, this is how it looks to live like Jesus in the world in your marriage, and then in your parenting, and then in your working relationships. And in Ephesians chapter 5, 29, talking to husbands and wives, he says this, no one hates his own body but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church. Look at that. There's that shepherding connotation coming forward again, but it's used now in a teaching regarding marriage. No one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church, and we are, say it with me, members of his body. As the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one, right? Same foundation, one unique foundation, but distinct in their function as husband and wife. Does it mean you have to be married to be members of the church? No. No, that's not what Paul's saying at all. More than likely, Paul wasn't married himself. But as a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, the two are united into one. Paul says, this is a great mystery, but guess what? It's an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. And your jaw ought to drop. Because when you went to the courthouse and got your marriage license, you thought it was just all about happy ever after. You thought it was all about just you loving this man that you adored and you loving this woman that you adored, and you were going to have babies and your children were all going to be Gerber profile pretty. That's the dream, right? To ride off into the sunset with your knight in shining armor, happily ever after. That's what marriage is about. And Paul says, no. From the foundation of God creating man and woman is the foundation of what it looks like for the church to respond to her groom and for the Christ of the groom to respond to his church. When you walk out of here as husband and wife, guess what? On a very unique and distinct level, you represent the expression of God's love and provision, his honor and his devotion to each other in your marriage. That's what you signed up for. And you get to come in here now, largely, as families built on that premise, now in a group of people who are now sending the same message to the world as members of his body, the church. Everything, y'all, is about Jesus. Everything is about God's demonstration and his love for his church. That's what it means to be a member. It's distinct. It's unique. And hopefully now you never have to question again whether or not it's biblical. And we want to help you be a part of that here. If this is your church and you say, you know what, I have never gone through the process of membership here, I don't know what that means. Then, you know, we sign on the back of your welcome card, go out here at the Connection Center and ask an elder how you get connected into the process of membership here. Open up your app. Mike, our friend Mike Deeg, he put that on the app. It's on there now. You can sign up for membership and to be a part of that process here if this is the place where God has aligned you. And if you're here today visiting, welcome. We are glad you are here. But you run out of this place like you're running from a building on fire, and you get back to your church and you serve it where you belong, because it's biblical, it's unique, and it's distinct. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we love you and we thank you for bringing us together as your body here in Evansville. And Lord, may we reflect your grace and goodness to us, not just to each other, but to the world. For Christ's sake and in his name we pray. And let the church say, amen. God bless you as you go forth, folks. Thanks for coming today.